Today's gospel passage follows immediately after that one from 3 months ago, which ended with the disciples being greatly astounded at the idea that a rich man could not enter heaven. Of course, you remember where we were in ordinary time 3 months ago. Oh, me neither. At that point, we were about to enter 40 days of contemplating the sacrifice of our Lord that he would make on the cross for our salvation. And then for 50 days, we celebrated the victory that that sacrifice of Jesus brought about at Easter. And now we come back to ordinary time when we live out in our everyday lives the meaning of that sacrifice. Well, sacrifice is an offering, and so this is the word we are using interchangeably today. And that's the word we read from the Wisdom of Sirach, offering. An offering or sacrifice is essentially a gift to God. In the ancient world, sacrifices of animals or grains or even of children were offered to gods who demanded them in return for fertility or protection or even just simply to demonstrate submission to a divinity which had power over people. But Sirach lets us into the transformed and transformative meaning of sacrifice or offering. This offering is a recognition of what the Most High has given us. We can't match that gift, but we give in proportion to what we have. It is generosity according to your means. Sirach puts a number on it. If you don't hold back, the Lord will give you back sevenfold. Seven is the number of the whole of creation, and you can't do the generosity of God even within creation itself. This God is different from the gods of the nations, and so the meaning of sacrifice or offering is also different. First, God does not need our offerings. This God is entirely self-sufficient and benefits absolutely nothing by anything that we can offer him. Yet Sirach says, do not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Even more, be generous to God with your offering. Now, we are used to generosity, which is for someone in need. But we have already said, I just said, that God needs nothing from us. When we make an offering to God, our task is to recognize that we are the ones who have been blessed with life and a purpose in this world and a destiny beyond this world. All we have and all we are comes from God's goodness and his desire to bless us. I don't think I'm saying anything surprising there, but it's always good for us to be reminded, I think. Now, the psalmist captures this in the beautiful line, bring thanksgiving as your sacrifice. Just before today's gospel passage in Mark, Jesus says how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. And they ask, then who can be saved? And the answer is that you can't do this for yourself. Only God can save, and only those who are ready to receive that salvation may receive it. But it seems to us often, because of our worldly values, that we have to take this into our own hands. Most of what we do, one person has said, most of what we do is kind of an attempt to kind of bribe God into giving us salvation. But he gives us what we cannot achieve for ourselves and we cannot demand for ourselves. He sets about giving us and acknowledging that what we have given up, but in measure beyond our imaginings. You have no idea what you will be giving up, in a way, Jesus might say to those apostles and us today. Like Jesus, we cannot give anything of ourselves that God needs, and we cannot deserve what he offers us. Peter, speaking for the others, reminds the master, we've given up everything and followed you. We have sacrificed not just the 10% tithe required by the law, but we have given up everything to follow you. You asked us to follow, and we did not hold back. Now, it's as if Peter is asking, what will be our reward for such a great offering of our lives to God? As in Sirach, the Lord cannot be surpassed in generosity. You will receive 100 times, not just 7, but you will receive 100 times more now in this present age and eternal life in the age to come. But he adds, it will come with persecutions. And we might say, well, that seems to kind of take away from the great gift. But I think if we reflect on the true meaning and the deeper meaning of our faith, that Jesus considers persecutions and troubles a reward because those things are opportunities to grow in Christian maturity in a way that we cannot grow when things are easy. Whatever act of sacrifice that we make conforms us to be more and more like Jesus Christ, who, by dying on the cross, saves us. St. Bede says that this does not mean that we are to abandon our parents, leaving them helpless, or anybody else in our lives, but rather to prefer the honor of God to all that is perishable, even human relationships, even the best of human relationships. And so we might ask, what is our reward if we sacrifice to God, if we give our offering to God? And I think ultimately the truth is that our sacrifice to God changes us. It doesn't change God. It doesn't make God more willing to give to us. But it changes us. It forms who we are. And during this Mass, we will make a tiny offering of bread and wine, which symbolize the giving of our whole selves to God. And this is a sacramental way we do what Peter claimed. We give everything we have. It is a thanksgiving, a Eucharist. But the God of generosity turns that tiny gift into the astounding gift of God himself, which he gives back to us at communion. 100-fold? Not even close. 1,000,000-fold? Maybe starting to approach, but probably not. What does our generosity call us to do on this ordinary day, or this first early time in ordinary time? I know it means offering more than I think it does. It means giving everything I have, not grudgingly, but with a grateful heart, knowing that God wants to give me back everything that he is. It's not called the great exchange for nothing, the great exchange which takes place at Mass. Don't hold back, says Sirach. You will receive everything, says Jesus. You can't even imagine what you will receive in return. It's a great deal. It really is.